It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Breaking news today in the NBA and in Chicago. Adrian Wojnarowski on ESPN.com reporting the Bulls seeking a top executive with full authority on basketball decisions. Here's the column from Adrian Wojnarowski. The Chicago Bulls have embarked on a formal search process to hire a new top executive with full authority on basketball decisions, sources tell ESPN. Chicago's ownership has to have discussed the plan with Executive VP of Basketball Operations John Paxson and GM Gar Forman, sources said. Paxson is likely to continue with an advisory role with the franchise. There are expected to be more ownership conversations with Forman about his future, too, a source said. Here's the key. I think Bulls fans should perk up at this. The Bulls plan to talk with several candidates to lead the franchise and to expect to have new leadership well before the league resumes play following the NBA shutdown because of the coronavirus pandemic. Interviews will start next week and will be conducted electronically, the source said. Why is that important? Because I think this is a huge deal that the Bulls have now seen enough. You know, they could take the easy way out and say, let's see how this season plays out. Maybe there's a tournament that everyone gets into. Maybe they don't finish the playoffs. Maybe they don't finish the year. Maybe nothing happens, right? They could take the approach of, we'll see how this plays out. You know, a lot of people in this world are dealing with much bigger things in sports, right? So, like, you could use the pandemic to your advantage if you don't want to do anything in this situation as an NBA franchise, right? Obviously, no one wants to not be playing basketball. Mm-hmm. But you could see a scenario where someone could use this to say, ah, now we don't have to make a move. Now we don't have to do this. Here's why I'm thrilled at the news that was given today. Because the Bulls are not taking that approach. And the fact that Adrian Wojnarowski is sending out this information today and that interviews will start next week. And the key line of this where the Bulls expect to have new leadership well before the league resumes play following the shutdown because of the coronavirus pandemic tells me that they're being proactive and tells me that enough is enough. And the moment things get back to normal in this world, the Bulls are going to be set in motion in a positive fashion to get back onto the right track. I am thrilled that this news has come out today and that it seems like they are heading in the right direction to make a move to get things in the right spot, because the alternate option was there. They could have used it to build into the excuses that we've seen over the years. But instead, they are proactively seeking out candidates, and we will get into the candidates now. But I think this is a positive piece of information for the Chicago Bulls today.
Well, the news originally surfaced right around the All-Star break, yep. Right? The Bulls were using the entire league being in the city to kind of set up meetings and kind of use back channels and be like, hey, we're kind of feeling this out. We're going to move Paxson around. We're going to move Gar to a different role. And now it seems like with Wojnarowski's report and Casey Johnson's adding to the report as well that this is going to start next week, and Adrian Wojnarowski also tweets out, a new top basketball executive in place if/when the season resumes. Give him a chance to evaluate the roster and coaching staff before the offseason starts. So what I take away from that is whoever they bring in, and we're going to mention them here, is whoever they bring in is going to be like, hey, just watch. Just watch stuff. Tell us what you think. But we all kind of know. Like this, I hate comparing, doing the cross-sport comparison, right? But we all know that Nick Foles could beat Trubisky. We all know that any executive coming in here isn't going to want Jim Boylan as his coach.
Yeah,
right?
There's no chance.
Because if that executive comes in and wants Jim Boylan, I don't want that executive. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want a guy who's going to be like, yeah, Jim Boylan's the guy. Because you know, I know, the rest of the league knows, Jim Boylan ain't the guy.
Yeah.
Like, Jim Boylan might be a great assistant, but he's not the guy. You can't, we've seen it all this season, part of last season. Jim Boylan ain't the dude. And so if you bring in some of these names and you say, all right, fine, we're going to work this both ways. No one's getting fired. Paxton's going to move. Gar's going to move to a different role. No one's getting let go. You bring in this new guy. All right, we've got the season's going to resume for a couple weeks, and then the playoffs are going to happen. But ultimately, the Bulls aren't going to make the playoffs, so we know that. So as soon as whatever semblance of a season we have left, if we have one, then they get rid of Jim Boylan, and then you start your coaching search.
Yeah, and you're right about the way that they're going about this. There's zero bad PR with this, because even if you're a Bulls fan and you cannot stand John Paxson and Gar Forman anymore, I think we could all have some compassion in this time to say to see someone lose a job and to just be out of work may not be the best look for a franchise, right, in this time that we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. So, like, the fact that they are going to talk to Forman about his future and roles within the organization, there's no bad PR there.
No, and we knew that before that was happening.
Because, listen, if they're going to bring in someone from an established franchise that knows what they're doing, it won't matter, because mm-hmm. that person's going to be making the decisions. So Adrian Wojnarowski writes, among the Bulls' initial plans to seek permission to interview Denver Nuggets general manager Arturis Karnavovis, Toronto GM Bobby Webster, and other candidates. I know Casey Johnson has the Pacers GM at the moment in as a candidate. I know Joe Cowley in the Sun-Times writing about the Bulls' interest in kind of raiding and pillaging the Miami Heat's front office. So there are a bunch of names that we can kind of go through and kind of figure out who would be the best option. But I think the key here is that many of these names are the guys who are working directly underneath the guy, mm-hmm. right? Like, so if you look at the situation in Denver, Denver president of basketball operations, Tim Connelly, is the one who has been running the show there. But his second-hand man is Karnisovas. So he's the guy that would be the guy looking for the promotion for the gig. If you look at the way things are done in Toronto with Masai Ujiri, he is the guy getting things done. The second in command would be Bobby Webster. Now, Bobby Webster, and you and I on our morning show on Sundays have talked about Bobby Webster before when this all started to come up about the Bulls looking for that new front office voice.
Yes.
Bobby Webster is a very impressive candidate because he's 36 years old, and you might say to yourself, man, that's young to run an organization. But if you dive into what Bobby Webster actually brings to the table, not only has he been there and he's won a championship with the Toronto Raptors, but the guy has worked in the league office with the CBA and being a person, a voice to help all 30 teams in the league with the CBA and the luxury tax. He was their resource. That to me is a huge bright spot, right? Because that allows you to manipulate the cap. It allows you to outwork other teams across the league and to kind of figure out where guys are of value that you can kind of fit onto your roster throughout a season. To me, Bobby Webster is a guy that the Bulls should look at 100%. I'm happy that he is the second name on this list that Adrian Wojnarowski put in his column today.
Now, we have to discuss, too, the reality that the Bulls are in and the reality that all Major League sports teams are in right now, right? No one's playing. No one's playing games. There's no fans. There's no selling tickets. There's a lot of people are in a tough situation financially, and those with discretionary income that spend money on season tickets might not be willing to spend that discretionary income anymore because that income might not be there, right? So you have to wonder, a guy as good as Bobby Wagner is, a guy as good as that you mentioned would be a top candidate. I imagine he's not the only top candidate, or the Bulls aren't the only team that are going to be looking for a new GM / president of operations, right? So I'm wondering how willing the Bulls are to get into a bidding war given the situation. Because Jerry Reinsdorf, the reality is, it's not only one of his teams that are suffering with not fans being there. It's two. He owns the White Sox and the Bulls. So he's feeling this on both ends. And if you're not going to get rid of Paxson, if you're not going to get rid of Gar, those are salaries that are going to remain on the books. I'm wondering how. I'm not trying to say that that Reinsdorf is cheap. I'm not trying to say that the Bulls are cheap. I'm just saying the reality of the situation of where we live in society now with the sports landscape and what teams are willing to spend on front office employees.
Well,
and how much will that affect which of those top members they? I know it's in the reports that they're going to interview them, and that's great. But when it comes down to offer these guys a salary, because Reinsdorf owns two teams and is in the middle of this with two teams, how much is it going to affect who they bring in? Because I think that's a reality.
You mentioned a bidding war, and I think in normal times you make a great point. But with the Bulls going out next week to conduct interviews electronically to find this person, no one else is looking right now. The Knicks had an opening. They filled it. So, like, outside of that, the rest of the league is in standstill, and finally the Bulls are trying to take advantage of something for the positive here. Like, listen, I agree with you. The setting that we are in now as a society is completely different, and who knows what the future will bring. But to be honest, the Bulls aren't bidding against anyone because no one else has front office openings
because
other teams are waiting to see how the season plays out.
But does a team see this and go, well, the Bulls are doing it, we can do it too?
Well, you have to ask yourself then, you have to look at teams at the bottom of the standings that don't have new front offices that would be considering that, right? Because any team that would be close to the playoffs, like Portland, three games out from the playoffs, Neil O'Shea isn't going anywhere. No. They're not doing anything with that. You know, like New Orleans, Griffin down in New Orleans, he's not going anywhere. He just got there. Like Sacramento with Vlade Divac. He's not, you know, like there are teams around the league, like Phoenix, young team building for the future. Like there are very few teams that would actually be competing. That's why I think this is such thrilling news as Bulls fans, because to me, it seems like, yeah, the league is on hold. Now the Bulls can go shopping.
No, I get
right?
it.
Like it's just,
I understand
hey,
it.
Go talk to everyone.
But it's kind of like
you
being...
like best will be the guy, because like again, the thing that is so refreshing about this is that they want to be up and running before the league resumes play to finish this current season. So that's not, oh, we want to be up and running for next year. Like I get it. It's unrealistic to think in May we're going to have NBA basketball. But if on the outside chance in June we do, the Bulls want their new front office ready to go when this happens.
No, and I understand that. But I'm also saying that I am the guy that has been cheated on. And I for some reason don't trust any girl I've been with when it comes to the Bulls, right? Like I've been scorned by this Bulls team before, and until they don't scorn me, I'm going to continue to assume that they are going to scorn me again, right?
The names that you're right on that. I get it. It's the same players making these decisions, but I feel like this decision is an unusual decision from the usual way that they do business.
They're sick of losing. I mean, you're sick of losing.
So am I. I mean, come on. As Bulls fans, we're sick of it.
Absolutely.
I've been watching NBA Finals games. That stuff was cool. I almost said a different word instead of stuff because I'm so impassionate about it. That stuff was cool.
You know what's,
can we
you
get
know
more of that,
You
please?
Know what's not going to do them any favors is 5 weeks of Bulls documentaries.
Well, I mean, it kind of does, just like at the All-Star game. You know what that did? It showed how embarrassing the situation is, but then it also reminded people how cool Chicago is as a basketball city.
Yeah.
When you watch NBA Finals games with the Chicago Bulls, you remember, oh, yeah, we were the center of the sports world, not the basketball world, the sports world. All right, people want to talk about this. You can call us at 312-332-3776. And also a thought from All-Star Weekend, because Abdallah and I were gathering some information over the weekend, and it seems like all this news is starting to come out with the Chicago Bulls. We'll talk Bulls with you next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Lots to do tonight. Big news throughout the day here in Chicago sports. The Chicago Bears speak to the media. Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, Nick Foles, new quarterback for the Chicago Bears, and then also the Chicago Bulls making news. Adrian Wojnarowski earlier this afternoon, the Bulls seeking a top executive with full authority on basketball decisions. Abdallah, at the All-Star game, we got a chance to kind of be behind the scenes and talk to some people as things were happening during All-Star weekend. We were at all the events throughout the weekend, the All-Star game, the rookie game, the slam dunk Saturday night, all that stuff. And the rumors over the course of the weekend were this, that the Bulls were kind of setting things in motion to kind of make a move. But behind the scenes, they were testing the waters, trying to find out what people think of the Chicago Bulls around the league. And we heard a bunch of different names. Two of the names Adrian Wojnarowski has in his column, Artis Karnisovas from the Denver Nuggets, the general manager, and then Bobby Wagner, or Webster, the GM from the Toronto Raptors, two candidates that are listed first in Adrian Wojnarowski's column. Also, Casey Johnson has pointed out that the Bulls have interest in Chad Buchanan from the Indiana Pacers. Ryan Russillo, when we got a chance to talk with him at All-Star Weekend, he told us a name to watch would be Michael Winger from the Los Angeles Clippers. Watch what the Clippers do, because their organization, the way they've been ran in recent times, is very impressive. People are very high on Trajan Langdon. There are a bunch of different names. Langdon with the New Orleans Pelicans, he's second in command there as well. A lot of good names for the Bulls to be looking at as they set into this situation where they're going to conduct interviews next week. And I think that's a big positive for the franchise.
Look, it's great for us. It's great for fans. It's great for everybody that the Bulls are going to be, once again, from what it seems like, they're tired of the monotony. They're tired of the same, of what's been happening. They're tired of, even if they make the playoffs, just being a first round out, because that's not good enough anymore. They're tired of the underdeveloping of players. They're tired of missing on draft picks. So now it's time for a change. And what better time? Like, I know, look, it sucks right now. Like right now sucks, right? The virus, the economy, everything. But if you can use it as a dead time in the NBA to do these interviews via electronically and get ahead and use this to improve your team, then use it. And yeah, that's what they're doing.
As everyone's waiting around, get a head start.
Exactly.
Bleck and Abdallah with you. If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776. Salim and Elgin, you're on ESPN 1000.
Salim!
What's going on, fellas?
What's up?
Hey, so a few things on this the Bulls news today. Wanted to the bad part is it's still a little weird that Pax is involved. I still can't get past that a little bit for now. The positive in the end, I know you guys covered a lot of it, but when I look at the teams that they're going after are talking to, like an organization, they're trying to teams like Indiana, Toronto, Miami, Utah, Denver. So all these organizations are very good and knowing as far as having a great scouting department, building from the top, great culture, player development. So when I see that, that gives you some kind of a good feeling, like they're finally, maybe the light is finally, they're finally seeing the light, essentially. So to me, I take the positives from that, and we'll hopefully, you know, I don't know how long this will take, but hopefully sooner than later we'll have one of these hires in, and we can start, you know, getting into the draft and once a season, whenever that starts up again, if it starts up again, and so forth. So it's exciting to see at least that aspect of what they're doing.
Thanks for the call, Salim. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
If you go to Adrian Wojnarowski's column, and kind of to point to what Salim's talking about, the sentence that I pulled out of it that I think is very important, I know that there are candidates listed here, but Adrian Wojnarowski writes, the Bulls plan to talk with several candidates to lead the franchise and expect to have a new leadership well before the league resumes play following the NBA shutdown because of the coronavirus pandemic. So they are conducting interviews next week, and they want things in motion to be ready to go before play resumes in NBA games. However the end of this season looks, the Bulls are going to have a new front office, and I think that is a huge move and a positive move for the Bulls.
I understand that, and I understand what Salim is saying about having Paxson involved. And one thing to be very clear, you and I have dealt with John Paxson in the past. You've interviewed him before.
Multiple times.
I've dealt with him, yeah, as far as booking him and on Waddle and Sylvie and for shows with Jonathan Hood.
He is very nice.
He's a very nice guy. no one wants to win more than John Paxson. Yeah. He wants to win. Don't get it twisted. John Paxson is not just in it for the money. No. They want to win. They might not make the right decisions all the time, and you may not agree with something that some things that they do with whether it's the coaching staff or the players that they select or the deals that they give out. But they believe in their mind that what they're doing will lead to success. And if going to John Paxson and saying, hey, it's time for you to take a step back and maybe a bigger role, maybe, you know, what's Cap been saying, move up in the offices or whatever it is.
Upstairs to the upstairs.
Whatever. Take a step back from making these decisions and bring in someone with fresh eyes, a younger voice, and that will lead to winning. John Paxson will want to do it because he wants to win more than anybody in that building. For sure.
As a league source told me, there's only two floors to the Advocate Center, though. you know, and to follow up your thoughts on Paxson, yeah, and I think not only is he very nice, but I feel as I've never asked him this question, but I feel as if he is okay doing interviews at the NBA draft with Jonathan Hood and I because we ask fair questions.
Oh yeah,
and when we talk about basketball, we are making observations on what we see and fair points that we're making, and we're not taking shots at someone just to say they can't do their job.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at the track record. We want this team to get back to the playoffs. So does he. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you treat him fairly, he gives you a fair response. And that's why I agree with you. I think he's always been someone that's fine to deal with. I have no issues there. Raphael in Joliet, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, how's it going? Love your show, guys.
What's up, man?
Hey, so I just want to piggyback on what Abdallah said earlier about the Reinsdorf not being cheap. Because I remember Brian Windhorst was on Capping Company early in the year, and he said he saw a spreadsheet of what the Bulls spend on the front office, and we were, like, almost last. And I just I can't get excited for a new phase unless he has a support system in place. Because Abdallah just said Paxson wants to win. I find it hard to believe Paxson wouldn't go to Jerry or Mike and say, hey, I want to hire an analytics department. I'll have to wait and see what happens, I guess.
Yeah, no, Raphael, that's a good call, and it's an important point. And I think to Adrian Wojnarowski's column, the first sentence here, the Chicago Bulls have embarked on a formal search process to hire a top new executive with full authority on basketball decisions. And I think mm-hmm. that's the key here, right? Because say if what Joe Cowley is reporting in the Sun-Times, how the Bulls are very interested in how the Miami Heat are doing their business. And you look at the Miami Heat's front office, and I know a name that's been out there is Adam Simon, who is the assistant general manager and vice president of basketball operations for the Miami Heat. The person who's directly below Simon, so if you bring Simon in as a president of basketball operations for the Chicago Bulls, the name below him is Shane Battier. And Shane Battier is the vice president of basketball development and analytics.
Mm-hmm.
So to the question and to the point is, yeah, 100%. If Reinsdorf is only going to hire one person, I don't think a whole lot will change. But if the hire is someone like Adam Simon from the Miami Heat, and Adam Simon says, I'm bringing these six people with me, and they are creating an analytics department, and Shane Battier is running the analytics department, and he's my GM, and then I'm creating a department for this, and all these different things, you know, I feel as if the Bulls are at a crossroads where they can't really afford to be last on that list that Windhorst was talking about.
Well, I don't think that they knew to not be last on that list. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that they've, like you mentioned, Shane Battier comes in. One of these new guys comes in. The guy from the Raptors comes in. He goes, look, man, you got to spend this. We got to add here. We got to add here. They're not going to say no because they know that that's what they need to get this guy in the office. I don't think they've had people. Pax hasn't been going and say, hey, look, this team has this and we have this and we don't have this and we don't have that. I don't know if they've known that they need all that stuff. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know if they can be like, oh, we can just get by with this.
It is, because you know why? How many times have you ever seen that show on the Food Network, Restaurant Impossible?
Mm-hmm.
How many times do you get a restaurant owner before they have the breakdown where Robert Irvine is like ripping the restaurant apart and they're like, I didn't know my restaurant was bad.
See, exactly. Right? They don't know.
Because they don't go to other restaurants. Exactly. They only show up to their restaurant.
Exactly.
And then they say, and they're pounding their their fists against the table.
What do you mean I got to clean?
Why doesn't this work?
What do you mean I got to wash these dishes?
You're telling me frozen clams are no good anymore?
What do you mean I need a new refrigeration system? This one doesn't work.
There's flies all over the place.
What
Isn't
do you
that
mean?
Okay? And Chef Robert Irvine is like, you can't do that, but he has a much cooler accent. So, like, you know, the way he says it is very intimidating. He also has the big muscles and the small t-shirt and all that stuff. But like
that small shirt.
But like the restaurant owners are always in denial. And that's what we have here with the Chicago Bulls. So finally they are admitting, like, yeah, you know, if we look around, there are other teams doing other things. Patrick and Wheaton, you're on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, so again, I also love the show. What I want to kind of comment on is the Bulls taking a reverse approach to something like the Bears, going with the youth movement at the front office. I would stand on the table for Langdon from the Pelicans. I mean, look at the trade that was pulled off with Anthony Davis and the pieces they got back. It's now being viewed as a win-win. And I think just infusing the Bulls with young talent, with eventually getting superstars here. We are a city that is passionate about our basketball team, diehard Bulls fans. And we need players that want to be here. We need to have that culture here and getting leadership in front office and having a coach that has credibility. Say like Tom Thibodeau, not saying bring him back, but getting a coach that has some power, some draw. We just need it in this city. And I think even like what you guys were saying with Adam Simon, that would be an amazing hire as well. Bringing Shane Battier, was an accomplished player who knows this league and knows players. So I'd love to get your thoughts on maybe having some youth movement and maybe having somebody like Langdon come in as well.
Yeah, no, good point, Patrick. I would answer directly to that is I'm not as concerned as a youth movement as people who have a track record. If someone shows that they have a track record and they have accomplished winning at a high level and drafting good players throughout the draft to then produce, to then get second contracts, and then hopefully sign some free agents, that's a guy I want. He can be young. He could be old. He could have experience from being a whiz with the salary cap to being a former player. You know, I just want someone who, when the Bulls roll out their front office, people and teams and players around the league respect what we're doing here in Chicago, because not only are they winning at a high level, but because when they kind of come through town, they say, oh, man, I kind of like to play for that guy. Kind of like to play for that organization.
Yeah, because it's not, I mean, look, the Bulls, Chicago's a great city, all that stuff, it's all great. But the fact that it's John Paxson, Gar Foreman, and Jim Boylan, no one really, that might be the biggest reason free agents don't want to come here, and not because, oh, it's cold.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a, I don't believe that one as much.
Here's the thing. Rich people don't get cold.
Yeah, because they don't walk outside.
Because they don't go outside if they
don't. When do they
go
outside?
Because they have heated cars, they have heated garages, they go into
the garage to garage.
They go to garage to garage. They don't deal with the cold. Rich people barely own coats unless they're like fashion coats.
Yeah, when was the last time you saw a rich person walking down Michigan Avenue, 20-degree weather with a whipping wind?
You know who walks around with Canada Gooses on in the middle of winter? People are going to get that Canada Goose stolen.
Well,
that's who.
Well, yes. Coming up next, Black and Abdallah, we talk NFL and the NFL draft, and also, why is Cam Newton not on a team? We'll talk about it next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
As we head towards the NFL draft, here's an interesting thought from Shea Pepler-Cornett on Cap and Company during this week. Here's what she had to say about good and bad GMs heading into the draft. I think this is very interesting. It caught my ear throughout the week.
To me, this is going to weed out the good GMs from the bad GMs, the good decision makers from the bad decision makers. Because you got to get creative, right? These guys can only call the prospects, speak to them, I believe it's 3 times a week in an hour window. You can't obviously run your physicals, but you should have done your homework ahead of time. So if it's teams that have waited to the last minute, they're really going to struggle. You can't have an entire staff there, so trades are going to be more difficult. We obviously know how much Ryan Pace likes to utilize those. So it's going to be really challenging for these football teams. You can't be at your facility, which is equipped with all the equipment you need to kind of do all these things, to communicate with the league, communicate with other teams, communicate with prospects. You have to pick a place that's wired technology-wise. So to me, this is going to really show you this draft, who was prepared and who wasn't.
That's Shea Pepler-Cornett on with Cap and Company throughout the week. Shea works for the SiriusXM NFL Network now. And so I heard her say that, Abdallah, and I thought to myself, oh, that's a great thought. I didn't even consider it, and it's so true. Bad GMs are going to get exposed with this. If you can't do the full prep and then you show up for the draft ready to go with your number two pencil and you sit down in the class and the teach says, all right, start drafting, and you're not ready, they will get exposed. You can't be rolling through your rankings like it's a fantasy football draft trying to figure out who you're going to take. I think Shea is 100% correct. The teams that throughout the season and throughout the year prepare the best are going to pull this off in the best fashion possible. And the teams that don't have the same infrastructure or success drafting that they usually do, I think this year's draft will definitely expose those who are bad at it.
Well, I mean, look, Mel Kiper Jr. joined Cap and Company earlier today, and he said that good GMs that have their scouts set up want to draft the end of February. Like, they want to do it right after the Super Bowl. They want a couple weeks to get together, and they want to go right after the Super Bowl. It's the staffs that have their coaches involved with the draft process that want to go through and meet all these players individually, where if you trust your scouts and you trust your front office and your personnel to go out and do all that stuff for you and use the combine and use the college football season and all that kind of stuff, then you're set. You know what you're going to do, because nothing changes between the Super Bowl and it is in terms of college football. Nothing changes between the end of the Super Bowl and the draft other than the combine. And the combine may help a few players out, but ultimately, okay, what? They can run, but they can do the shuttle run fast. They can jump high a little bit. Okay, they can bench a little more than.
You could watch more tape. You could interview players.
But that's what I'm saying.
You could see them on the workouts.
Okay, but you could interview players whenever you want to interview players after the season ends.
Along those lines, have you found it interesting over the course of the last week or two where you're starting to see stories floated out that Justin Herbert, quarterback from Oregon, is much better than what he's being projected to be? Have you seen these stories kind of out there in the NFL draft rumor mill?
Yeah, cool.
I watched
Justin Herbert play football. It's not that great.
Well, here's my point. Isn't it interesting that the only quarterback that had a pro day, Justin Herbert, he had it on the Thursday that the sports world stopped?
Mm-hmm.
The day that everything was being canceled across the sports world, the night after the NBA canceled the games and then said that we are halting our season and we are stopping the NBA season, and then the NHL jumped in, and then the NCAA tournament a few days later. That Thursday was Justin Herbert's pro day in Oregon at Eugene. Isn't it interesting how he's just magically moving up the draft board? Smart player, senior quarterback, played well at the Senior Bowl, and guess what? Hell of an arm, too. You're right, Abdallah. I've watched him play, too. Is he going to be good? I think he could be good in the NFL. But I think that someone like Herbert is not worthy of the top six pick, right? Like,
yeah.
He's a good 15th pick, maybe a good 12th pick, but I just think it's funny that we've heard this story kind of floated over the course of the last week.
No, I think so too, and
he's
I
the
think
only
that
one that had a pro day.
It's kind of exposing that, you know, but look, ultimately we know where he's going to go, right? Like, we know he's going to go probably after Tua and before Jordan Love. Like, that's kind of set. I don't think a team is going to take him over Tua, and I don't think a team might Jordan. I could see someone taking Jordan Love over Justin Herbert. I can understand that. But ultimately, I don't see anyone going leapfrogging Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa.
So I thought it was a good thought from Shea Pepler, because I agree with her. I think the bad GMs will be exposed because of the lack of prep and the lack of communication teams are going to have in the draft war room as they head into this year's draft. Black and Abdallah coming up with you in 2 minutes. We will talk to you about Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, and Nick Foles. They all met the media today. What did they have to say? An open quarterback competition? Yes, please.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.